Fellow conspiracy realist, we, like the rest of the world, have our eyes on the recent assassination attempt of former U.S. President Donald Trump on July 13th, 2024. As we recorded this strange news program before that incident occurred, we are releasing a special full episode on the event, which will be published this week. Thank you for your time. Be safe and stay tuned.
From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name's Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We're joined, as always, with our super producer, Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday Jackson. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. It is almost birthday season here at here at Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, as we hurtle headlong toward August. And the news isn't stopping. Taco Bell has a retirement home just off air. We're talking about some big changes in Greece. And a lot of people are smuggling animals in their pants. That's hot again now.
And they're apparently also happy to see us.
Yeah. There was one great case with a guy named Matt Pancake. Real name.
Stop it.
Real name. You can see him on YouTube. Getting caught in a leopard onesie asleep on a bench after he broke into a pet store and tried to smuggle a bunch of hamsters out in his onesies.
For sex stuff?
Unclear? We can't profile. You know what I mean?
I'm wondering if it was out. It could have been floated out there.
You tell us, folks. Maybe there is an entirely wholesome, indeed noble reason that you would need to put on an animal onesie and throw a bunch of hamsters in.
Maybe he just really identifies with the animal kingdom and he was just trying to liberate his people, you know? But I will say, we were watching the video that you found, Ben, on that topic with Alexis, codenamed Doc Holliday. And Alexis pointed out that the police were being quite fast and loose and rough with this fellow without thinking anything about the imperiled lives of the hamsters contained within that leopard onesie.
Assumptions are dangerous. And Doc, yes, agreed. You made an excellent point. Also, shout out to the guy who got caught with 100 live serpents in his pants when he conspired to smuggle them out of Hong Kong. There's some great pictures there.
It's triggering.
Are we talking babies?
We're talking, quote, if you go to The Guardian, you will see that he, the way the authorities describe it, when he was caught trying to smuggle these from Hong Kong into Shenzhen, was: upon inspection, customs officers discovered that the pockets of the trousers the passenger was wearing were packed with 6 canvas drawstring bags and sealed with tape. Once opened, each bag was found to contain living snakes in all kinds of shapes, sizes, and colors.
Wow.
A true coalition. Of serpentine.
Of the unwilling.
That should be a political slogan. Join our coalition of the unwilling.
You already have, right?
Yeah, basically, Jesus.
With the United Explorer card, earn 50,000 bonus miles, then head for places unseen and destinations unknown.
Wherever your journey takes you, you'll enjoy remarkable rewards, including a free checked bag and 2x the miles on every United purchase.
You'll also receive 2x the miles on dining and at hotels, so every experience is even more rewarding.
Plus, when you fly United, you can look forward to United Club access with 2 United Club one-time passes per year.
Become a United Explorer card member today and take off on more trips so you can take in once-in-a-lifetime experiences everywhere you travel.
Visit theexplorercard.com to apply today. Cards issued by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC. Subject to credit approval. Offer subject to change. Terms apply.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast. And my wife, Kate, and I, we recently got away for the weekend. We booked a last-minute Airbnb in downtown Asheville. It was walking distance from our favorite breweries, and it was just a block away from a top-notch coffee shop. That's a necessity. But it just reminded me of how smart those hosts were to list their place while they were out of town to earn some extra money.
That's exactly right. Your empty space could be an Airbnb while you're traveling. Because that's all you need to become an Airbnb host. Just an extra spare room. You don't even need to Airbnb your entire house. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Roku has what you need to make your college home away from home feel more like your own. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV. Or bring a Roku streaming stick to easily access all your favorite free and premium content like iHeartRadio. Stream your favorite playlist with the Roku Vibe Setting Smart Light Strips to sync your music to millions of colors and make your dorm feel more like you. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, streaming players, and smart lights. Head to Roku.com or your favorite retailer to deck out your dorm.
So before we move into the news, do you guys want to talk a little bit about Greece's bold new 6-day work week?
Sure. It feels like a weird move in the midst of, you know, a lot of new work from home things, new get the job done, get it done right. But we as a company aren't going to tell you, you know, how many hours you got to put in. Just make sure you're doing what we're paying you to do.
And just a lot of chatter, and I mean, understandably and rightfully so, around workers' rights and the idea of a separation between work-life, you know, balance and all of that stuff. It does seem like a odd PR move at the very least. And I was questioning, like, is this because their economy's in trouble? And Matt, you pointed out it's quite the contrary, right?
Well, at least according to the prime minister, right, who is kind of repping the move, saying, yeah, this is a good idea, guys. This initiative was necessary, the prime minister says, because, quote, the twin perils of a shrinking population and a shortage of skilled workers. So the thought here is instead of having a 40-hour work week as a standard for many workers, you would have a 48-hour work week. But there are a bunch of other things they're saying. They're also saying a lot of workers, at least in Greece, and one of the reasons this was done is because they're working overtime hours and not getting paid. They're not being compensated correctly for those overtime hours they're working as a necessity.
So this is putting the workers first is the argument in some weird roundabout way. Yeah.
Look, Greece already has it has the longest average work week of the entirety of the European Union. So it's kind of codifying what is already happening and making sure that people get that overtime pay. And if you work in a job where you have an assigned number of hours and you do have to go over that, you know that overtime is a huge deal. So on paper, in theory, this is not a conspiratorial thing. It's the right move. But I will add that for many, many years, Greece has had this sort of cultural understanding that a lot of people don't pay taxes or report things specifically, and there's still a big cash economy there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this works, especially with the global contrast to so many other entities, state level or private industry, who are dialing back their work week, you know, famously trying things like a 4-day work week.
It's so weird to me because it feels like an opposite move of what they're saying it is, because apparently it's only going to apply to private businesses that provide, quote, round the clock services. So that's not like your service industry, hospitality, that kind of stuff necessarily. That's not round the clock services. And it feels as though if there are these companies that, if let's say you've got an individual worker who works 40 hours a week, then if you need that person to work another 8 hours, you're going to pay them time and a half. Now the company only has to pay them time, right? For your standard going wage. So in the end, it's saving companies money, right? But it's making the workers work more, probably what they were going to work with overtime anyway, but now they're going to get paid less.
Well, also, yeah, wherever you live, I would be very skeptical when you hear a politician describe something as growth oriented, because the economy is not necessarily the people. But also, I didn't know this. In 2022, the average Greek employee across industry worked 1,886 hours per year. That's higher than the U.S. average, which is 1,811. And the U.S. already has a reputation of people being overworked, you know, and not getting some basic benefits like PTO or vacation.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Guys, there's an added thing here that I didn't realize, and I think I already misspoke because of this new information I'm getting from The Guardian. It says, under the extended working week, staff in select industries and manufacturing facilities will have the option of working an additional 2 hours per day, right? So that would add up, or an extra 8-hour shift, and they would be rewarded during that time period with a top-up fee of 40% added to the daily wage. So they are still making overtime.
Overtime, yes, that's correct.
You're right. They are just kind of codifying it in the way business functions now.
And if you're a Greek national, or if you reside in Greece, let us know what the vibe is on the ground. Let us know the lay of the land. And perhaps most importantly, please assure us that we can still have access to gyros. That's not a washed joke whatsoever.
Yeah. I love a gyro. Not going to lie. Big fan of the Greek festival. Got to pop in every year when it comes around to get that gyro. I think gyros should be for all year round. And of course, not the only thing in cuisine that Greece is known for. They have a plethora of incredible offerings, but it is a delightful sandwich.
The civilization,
or is it a wrap?
Greece. The civilization
of Greece. Let's not get into this
one. Couple other things in addition to the gyro. So we'll give them their flowers there. And no matter where you live, this is one of our first big stories. No matter where you live in this wide world, no matter what you do for fun or for work, you need to check your passwords right now. Alexis, can we get like a weird breaking news thing? Perfect. Yes. All right. Let's go to Cyber News and Rock You 2024. All one word. Cyber News researchers recently discovered the largest password hack in known history. We're talking 10 billion different passwords, and it came through a file called rockyou2024.txt text file. It was posted by someone calling themselves Obamacare on July 4th. This person has this entity, or this representative of this group, has already shared employee databases from law firms, leaks from online casinos, even student applications for colleges. Like, whatever they're doing, they're doing very well. And we were talking about this in a text thread we use sometimes when we're not recording. We're also talking about it a little bit off air. But Noel, you in particular clock something that, Doc, I think we both noticed too, and maybe you as well, Matt, that there has been an escalation of scam attempts, phishing attempts, phone calls. I've got one story, not to make a personal story, but this is something that involves us. We may have mentioned it, but we haven't done it on the air. Our paterfamilias of How Stuff Works, absolute brilliant guy named Marshall Brain. Yes, that's his real name. He's Mr. Brain. A while back, right around not too long ago, received a text message from someone identifying themselves as Marshall Brain, mentioning me by name or by the name I use here and asking me for stuff. And so, Matt, you'll recall I texted you because I didn't recognize the number. And I think we both kind of got cracking real quick on the weekend, right, to figure out if this is the real Brain.
Oh, yeah. I texted him. And I called him, left a voicemail, and I guess it was him. I don't know. He didn't mention that in particular, but the same number is his.
I emailed him because the text I got was from a different number than the one that we have for him. And then he wrote, I'll have to send you guys the email too. He wrote back a very nice email, gave us all a shout out, confirmed it wasn't him, but it was odd, the specificity.
Oh, it wasn't that him. Attempt.
It was not him.
Oh,
it was not him. It was someone who knew enough information to use these two names together and to probably try to get something. And that's just, you know, that's just a microcosmic example, right? Like, I think we were saying off air, we've all been receiving some kind of wackadoo glad handing attempts online, right?
Mm-hmm. By the way, just really quickly, Marshall reports that he is, quote, here in his super secret fortress of solitude, and his plans to save the world should come to fruition any day now.
I was just saying, for my part, I have received notifications through Apple, through my iPhone, a couple of times over the last year or so that my data was part of an identified breach, and that I should change my passwords. And I don't know if anyone else has noticed that feature in the iPhone, but it is apparently a thing. I guess they get wind of this stuff and they send you these notifications, or if it's like a setting you have to turn on or off. But, you know, I've certainly not been the best steward of my passwords over the years. I have a couple that I use, and I switch them around and change around digits and add a few things on the end. But at the end of the day, I ultimately will get to a place where I've forgotten what I changed the password to, and then I have to change it again. And then if I'm not careful, I'll rinse and repeat. But I have gotten more into using two-factor authentication. And a lot of times, a breacher or someone who's really trying to do you wrong needs some other way. They can't just have your password. They need access to your email. If they're getting your banking stuff, if you have two-factor, then you'll get something via email or via text. So it's not unless they control all of those, those accounts, can they actually really, really, really do you dirty. Not to say let your guard down, don't worry, you're fine, but I would say look into any form of two-factor authentication. But what I was wondering is, do these large, because I've seen just a massive uptick in this particular type of scam call that I'd never heard before, where it's comes from all over the country, different numbers, and it's saying that it's a loan company needing to confirm some data for the loan that I applied for. And it's happened multiple times. And at first I was freaked out, did somebody apply for a loan in my name? But no, it turns out it's a pretty common scam. And I just have to wonder if with these data leaks, in addition to passwords, they must also be getting other information. The phone numbers are probably attached to some of these if you're, entering it for maybe political campaigns or for getting text notifications or whatever. And I just kind of wonder how the folks that are capitalizing on these breaches are using this information, and if this uptick in scams, via text message and phone calls has anything to do with those.
You really don't need a ton of information. You need a startlingly sparse set of data points to be able to pull some financial shenanigans, to do things like credit stuffing, or to do things like, opening certain types of loans. Or it's easier than it sounds to compromise someone's identity. And going back to our story, RockU 2024 did not come out of the blue. Please check out this story, folks. It comes on the heels of things like the RockU 2021 compilation. Before, just a few days ago, RockU 2021 was the largest single password breach collection in history. So whoever is doing this is not only keeping up with their previous iterations, but they're escalating. They're getting better. And no matter how secure we may feel we are, no matter how much security hygiene we practice, now is the time to go in and change your passwords. One thing that might be a concern that I don't see a ton of confirmation or conversation about here, even in some software forums, is the idea of compromising campaign databases. Right? Because those calls escalate really quickly around election season. And, election season here in the U.S. is basically lobster fest. It never ends. It's always going on. So that is, to your point, that's a, I almost said a great resource. That is a very powerful resource for bad faith actors, because they can scoop up some information about you, cross-ref to a couple of other databases, and then boom, you get a very specific text that does seem like it could be legit, because they know your name. They know where you live. They might have known some things you were doing earlier. It's ethics aside, it's a pretty brilliant operation. At this point, it can be a little disturbing for people, because all the advice you're getting from the experts and from the armchair folks alike is just turn on, MFA, multi-factor authentication, reset all your passwords, even if you think they haven't been associated with this leak. But again, 10 billion more passwords than there are people on the planet. So the odds of you getting hit are very much non-zero. The odds of someone you know getting hit are, or I wouldn't even say hit, compromised in this leak, are virtually certain. It's probably one of us recording this evening or one of us listening to the show tonight.
I got my LifeLock alerts specifically when this got released.
Oh yeah, you still on the LifeLock?
Mm-hmm.
Back around to the phone number thing too. I've been using WhatsApp for a while, which is tied to a phone number, and I hadn't logged on to it for a while, but then a friend of mine was saying I'm trying to move all my text communications to WhatsApp because he uses an Android, and as we know, there's some weird exclusionary stuff that involves the way Apple treats Android users, and it really is kind of obnoxious. So I totally get it, and I was fully game, and I went to log into my WhatsApp, and I got a notification saying my account had been suspended due to suspicious activity, but I hadn't used it in months and months and months. And I very quickly just filled out a little form and said, I don't know what this is about. I have no idea what could have happened, yada, yada, yada. And they reinstated it very quickly. But I know there were lots of WhatsApp scams, and I have to believe that somebody phished my account, used my phone number, and tried to use it to run some scams when I wasn't logged in because it was a dormant account.
Yeah, dormant accounts, the empty parking spaces, right, are already pretty cozy for bad faith actors. If you are one of the many, many people who has a Facebook account that you never bother to use, then you probably want to check in on that bad boy too, because those can very easily be spoofed. I mean, it happens with celebrities or public figures on Instagram all the time. They get spoofed. It's a good thing to keep an eye out for. And really, the purpose of this story, it's too recent for us to have a ton of fallout for this or to know what the actionable consequences will be. But it's more a clarion call. You know, it's a true thing. And it might feel boring to change passwords, but it's way cooler to be bored for a moment than to have thousands of dollars stolen from you.
I do have a question, though. Like, at a certain point, if everyone in the world's passwords have been leaked and literally, like, everyone is compromised, are there no protections in place? Like, if everyone's being scammed, like, is there, like, a ceiling for this stuff? It just seems outrageous for it to be that huge, that maximalist of a leak for you to be able to target like everybody. But I guess once you get the information, then you weed through it and figure out who's the most vulnerable and who's like the weakest in the herd, technologically speaking, right?
Right. Or who is the most high value target?
So true. Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
So this brings us to another thing. There's a crooked industry game going on here too, because if you are someone who wants to remove privacy from the internet, or someone who wants to remove anonymity, this is a great argument to do so, such that the ultimate password in the scenario you're describing there, Noel, would be
you.
Biometric yeah. data, even onto retinal scans or fingerprints don't work anymore, DNA, stuff like that. It's enough to make you think, and I know we've got to keep this one short, it's enough to make you think maybe society overall, the way we're doing it, is kind of overrated. Maybe we should just retire to that new Taco Bell retirement home.
Hey, tell me more about this. I got to know. What does this mean? What does this mean? Is it like the Taco Bell cantina where they serve margaritas, but they also have like beds? Like, what is the Taco Bell retirement home?
Is it for people who are like too far gone and just enjoy Taco Bell for the rest of your life while you got it kind of thing?
It's similar to... So I was talking with the Daily Zeitgeist guys about this a while back. It's similar to other Disney company stuff, branded of. Retirement yeah. homes. Like the Disney one's really confusing. But if you would like to call off the rat race and live a life of quesadilla-fueled luxury, then look no further than the Cantinas, where, according to Taco Bell, everyone can live like a retiree. This comes from Fox 11 out of L.A. Shout out to you guys. They say this is a, quote, luxurious experience that will offer senior-inspired recreation and cross-generational activities, early morning golf tee times, afternoon aerobics, pickleball matches. It is reserved for Taco Bell Rewards members. So you already have to be kind of Taco Bell premium, you know, the 1% of Taco Bell. I don't know how tough it is to join the rewards club there. You can get a day pass if you're not ready to jump all the way in. And it starts in just 6 days. They start selling access to the cantinas. As we record now, it's July 10th. So if you are like millions of Americans, I'm sure, just champing at the bit to live your Taco Bell life, then get thee to a Taco Bell on July 16th or download their app and just make sure, you know, you got a good password. We're going to pause for a word from our sponsors and we'll be back with more strange news.
Roku has what you need to make your college home away from home feel more like your own. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV. Or bring a Roku streaming stick to easily access all your favorite free and premium content like iHeartRadio. Stream your favorite playlist with the Roku Vibe Setting Smart Light Strips to sync your music to millions of colors and make your dorm feel more like you. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, streaming players, and smart lights. Head to Roku.com or your favorite retailer to deck out your dorm.
When it comes to business, the people who succeed tend to be the people who seek out partners with skills or knowledge that they don't have. And that's what Lenovo's free online membership program, Lenovo Pro, can do for small businesses. If you're not a tech expert, that's where Lenovo can help. So you can add Lenovo's team to yours and then lean on them for all your tech questions for free. Visit Lenovo.com/LenovoPro to sign up for free. That's Lenovo.com/LenovoPro.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
Lodo.us.
Visit modo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at modo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Lodo.us.
And we're back with more strange news. Gonna do two sort of techie news stories out of the Asian continent. One is sort of absurd, and one is both absurd and a little bit sad and potentially portentous of things to come when it comes to our robot friends and potential overlords. But first, there was recently a gubernatorial election in Tokyo. The results of that have been determined. Yuriko Koike won amidst a crazy cavalcade of opposition. And that's sort of where the story comes from. In Tokyo, Ben, I know that you've spent some time over there and you may have been there at some point during election season, but a big part of the election cycle in Tokyo are these like physical ad spaces that are sort of temporarily put up during elections that are like little squares that are kind of like these grids of squares. They're billboards on the ground that are put up and you can rent these squares for something like $125 a day. And because of this new sort of conservative group that has been running aggressively in the city, they apparently rented out a ton of these. And I don't know if they're just trying to create subterfuge or create a situation where it's like a distraction or smoke and mirrors from the real serious candidates to kind of, you know, throw a wrench in the works. Basically would rent them out to anyone who would pay them for their pre-rented spaces. And that has resulted or had resulted in some pretty wacky and outrageous little political ads, including ads for like pornographic material, sex shops. There was even an AI mayor candidate, and this was of course a gubernatorial race, running on a platform of using artificial intelligence to run the government, a guy running on a golf platform where he apparently a big part of, and this is also, there are videos associated with these, not in the squares but online, and in the little clip or in the little square he's kind of just showing him practicing his golf swing, and you know, pictures of pets, pictures of kickboxers, you know, all kinds of, you know, lurid poses. And the thing is, in Japan, the law has been that anybody running for office can pretty much say anything they want as long as it's not inherently libelous or slanderous, or as long as they're not supporting another candidate, which is interesting. But I guess that makes sense that we would maybe like put it exactly like that over here, because the implication would be you wouldn't really be running if you were going to be supporting another candidate unless you lose, you know, a potential bid for a nomination, then you know, put your support behind a certain candidate, you endorse them or whatever. But this new hiccup has been specifically caused by this political party that has been renting out these spaces, kind of creating a bit of a bizarro kind of show that a lot of citizens of Tokyo have commented they find distasteful and a little bit embarrassing. You know, it doesn't really cast their city in a particularly flattering light. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about that, or as it relates to our political process over here. Is it worse? Is it better? I mean, it almost seems a little bit lighthearted and lower stakes than what we're seeing over here in terms of some of the gnarly kind of hate-filled baiting kind of campaigns that we see in political ads, not to mention with Citizens United and the ability of corporations to give unlimitedly, you know, to these types of campaigns.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, the shenanigans are kind of evenly distributed around the world, for better or worse. And this is fascinating to me because Tokyo has such a huge impact on the rest of Japan, right?
Economically.
And the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much. And culturally as right. well. And there are still, you know, there are definitely far-right forces in Japan. Like, there are some active extremists in Hokkaido. Okinawa is going through some turbulent times right now because, yet again, U.S. service members were committing some pretty heinous sex crimes and assaults. The idea, what you're saying, like the lightheartedness of this particular instance, I would agree with that. It is, if anything, it is kind of embarrassing to the residents of Tokyo. And you see those quotes from various, you know, person on the street interviews with different media outlets. There was one I saw in Fox by Mayumi Noda, who's an office worker in Tokyo, and just said, mainly message that they feel this is embarrassing when outsiders, non-Japanese visitors,
right,
see what's happening, and said, quote, I see many foreign visitors pass by these billboards and they must wonder what's going on. As a voter, I think it's outrageous and disrespectful to the other candidates who are seriously competing. But, you know, we get that in the UK. We get that in the US. Somebody runs as, like, quote unquote, a joke candidate. I love Buckethead. Remember Buckethead?
Oh, that guy? Of course. Yeah. He can shred, too. Are we talking about the same guy, the Buckethead that plays the guitar?
No. Buckethead. Okay. Sorry, candidate.
Maybe I'm misconstrued.
Not the guy who replaced Slash.
That's right. Yeah. Who does, in fact, go by Buckethead as well. I could see the confusion there. But yeah, apparently this emerging conservative party is what the AP describes them as. And I've dug a little deeper, and a lot of things that are, you know, in Japanese, and I don't know exactly what the name of the party is, but they apparently were even encouraging folks who weren't candidates to rent these spaces. And a lot of it ended up just being like vying for attention. And the leader of this conservative party, a guy by the name of Takashi Tachibana, said, we have to be wacky or we don't get media attention. And the AP also spoke to a professor at Nihon University by the name of Ryosuke Nishida, who is a political expert and media specialist, and said the point is to make immoral and outrageous actions. The reason why some people find these performances amusing is because they think their objections are not taken into consideration by politicians and existing parties or reflected in their politics. And I did see a YouTube video of an American, I believe he didn't have an accent, he seemed like an American living in Tokyo, who seems to have been living there for a long time, and he did point out that, you know, much like over here and in other parts of the world, there is a perception of significant corruption in Japanese politics. So this is almost a thumbing of the nose at the system that many perceive as being broken.
Yeah. But just to be clear, these billboards are meant to show the actual candidates that
they
you
are.
Could vote for.
That's right.
And they are being just changed
misused.
In these weird ways, misused. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, is this the only way people learn about candidates, or is this just like...
Traditionally, it's a popular way. And again, Ben, I would defer to you with your time there, but it is a cultural thing. These squares, these grids of squares that are put up seasonally, it is something that people have come to expect, because I believe online campaigning wasn't even really much of a thing until relatively recently because of some laws.
Yeah, Japan is, as anybody who's been there or spent time there knows, Japan is far, far into the future in some things like toilet technology and frankly food, but also seems to weirdly lag behind in some innovations, right? Like fax machines are still very common. Just because that is the normalized expected way to do things. And so to the question about the paths of or the opportunities to learn more about a candidate as a voter in Tokyo or Japan. Surely there are, and write in, listeners, let us know, conspiracydieheartradio.com. Surely there are people who are maybe less tech savvy, or maybe they're older people, and they've just associated this platform in particular as their way to get a quick summation of the candidates, you know, and people just like over here typically are going to vote with the party they already identified with in previous elections. It's kind of rare for folks to break ranks due to the tribalism. So I would say it's important. There are other ways to learn about it, right? And with, you can just see how many candidates are in these kind of races. So they're not just racing for public approval. They're also fighting tooth and nail to get any sort of media coverage. And past a certain point, it's like the old Hollywood rule. Does bad or good coverage matter that much? Is the main thing just getting your name and your face out there?
I think that's absolutely right. And apparently, like, some of these entire billboards, of which there are tens of thousands, by the way, throughout the city of Tokyo, where they'll rent the same square. You know, it'll be the same ad in an entire grid of, by the way, 48 squares in these. And it's sort of like if you go to New York, where there'll be walls around construction sites where it is legal to post bills, and then there's the ones that say post no bills. This is kind of like that. Like, it's sort of built into the urban landscape of the city. And apparently all of this is perfectly legal because of that lag that Ben's talking about, which I do find interesting, because Japan does seem to be a country of conundrums, of sort of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Like contradictions, right? Like, where it's like, you know, yes, they are so ahead of the curve on so many things, but there are some things like this that just don't quite catch up to the times. And there are people out there seemingly exploiting them.
And to be fair, you know, this country's not some kind of paragon of perfection, which is a redundant phrase. Like, everything we just said about Japan can in some ways be applied to the U.S., right? Very far ahead in some things and cartoonishly behind in some others. And it just depends on where you live and what gets normalized.
Well, speaking of what gets normalized, and I think we can keep this quick. I actually didn't think that this one was going to generate quite as much conversation as it did, but I'm glad it did. I think these are all really valid and interesting points. Apparently, South Korea has, for some time, had the densest robot population in the entire world. And that is something that I was unaware of. You know, if you're lucky enough to be anywhere near Buford Highway here in Atlanta, where there's some amazing cuisine and some restaurants that you might not find in places other than Asia, you will notice that there are a lot of spots that have these serving robots that will bring you your trays and bring you your drinks, etc. There's like a pretty popular rotating revolving sushi restaurant called Kura, I believe, and they have these little serving robots, and they are starting to become a little more popular in cities like New York or Los Angeles, where you'll be walking around and see like a food delivery robot. But in South Korea, they've been doing this for a very long time, and that also applies apparently to civil service, where there are robots that are helping with admin type tasks and sort of interacting with office workers. And in South Korea, in a place called Gomi City, there has been what is being reported as the first robot suicide. And I have to just go ahead and caveat this up front. I really do think this is quite hyperbolic, and in many ways just sort of an entry into a conversation about what it means to be human and what it means to humanize robots and what it means for artificial intelligence to simulate human emotions. Because, you know, people get bummed out, and isn't the idea of a robot that, like, they're like all the good things about humans, but they're sort of impervious to some of the bad? But as we know, with like things like chatbots becoming racist when you train them on the internet, they take all that stuff in too. And there is a question as to whether or not this robot was feeling overwhelmed and overworked like many of the probably other folks it was working alongside. So the robot had worked for the Gumi City Council, was found at the foot of a 2-meter-long staircase where, according to some reports, including one from techreport.com, it threw itself down. I'm think ascribing the idea of a robot throwing itself dead so dramatic and really clickbaity and, like, good for a headline, but I don't know if I buy it. It was known as the robot supervisor, worked normal shift hours like everybody else, even had its own employee card, and was very accustomed, if a robot or programmed, I guess, to operate the elevators. And that's true of, I think we've all been traveling together and maybe seen these in hotels occasionally, where they do get off the elevator. They use the elevator. They've got something where they can either extend like an R2-D2 little finger and poke the button or whatever, but they do get on and on elevators. And according to this Tech Report article by Krishi Chowdhury, the reason for the suicide is not yet been determined, but the broken pieces have been taken away in order to help determine the cause. So it's weird, though, because it's not exactly a crime scene. I mean, but it does seem, you know, the anthropomorphization of robots really comes into play, especially in the way it's being described. And that's really the gist of it, guys. It was manufactured by a company out of California called Bear Robotics, and it began its work back in 2023. And all this writing about robot suicide, I think, is really overblown and borderline irresponsible in some ways. I don't know. Maybe that's me being a little too alarmist about it. But what do you guys think? I know we're nearing the end of the segment, but I just want a quick, I think this is worth a quick chat and then maybe bring it back up for another episode, maybe on robot servants, you know, or on the anthropomorphization of technology.
To me, it sounds like we need to get some robot doors, kind of like doggy doors, you know, or like the little fences that you'll put up on a staircase. Just need to install one of those, or a bunch of those, maybe.
Like those curved fences they put on bridges to keep humans from throwing themselves off?
No, like, it's not the humans.
I know, I'm joking. I get what you're saying. I'm totally joking.
Look, I don't know anything about this manufacturer, this specific robot, but it feels to me like it was some kind of error, right? It was 100%. Reported spinning in a circle, then went off the thing, so.
The deep end, Matt. The deep end. It had enough.
I just finished this game with my son called Stray on PlayStation.
Great game.
This game about a cat.
Yeah.
A city full of robots. And it's very, very cool. I would recommend everybody plays it. But just this way we apply our thinking to the robots, I think you're right on that. That's what's happening here.
Any last thoughts from you, Ben, before we move on?
Yeah, but I'll save them for an episode with robot servants. You know, like you said, they're quite prevalent in the more developed parts of Asia. And I've had some very weird run-ins, the kind of things that leave you a little paranoid, but I'm sure everything's fine.
Probably so. And again, I joke that, you know, our robot servants / overlords. But it is the thing that we're like trying to train these things to be as human as possible without the inconvenient parts of being human. A big conversation around AI is that there comes a point where there's this sort of, I don't know, critical mass point where you can't filter out the things that you're training it with human stuff. That's going to get the human parts as well. And then eventually it might just take over and start writing its code itself. But I don't know. I'm glad that you're into that idea, Ben. I think that'll be really, really cool to talk about big picture. What does the future of robot assistants, AI assistants, all of that stuff, I think could be bundled into a great episode. Well, let's take a quick pause here, hear a word from our robot overlords, our sponsors, and then we'll be right back with another piece of strange news.
Roku has what you need to make your college home away from home feel more like your own. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, or bring a Roku streaming stick to easily access all your favorite free and premium content like iHeartRadio. Stream your favorite playlist with the Roku Vibe Setting Smart Light Strips to sync your music to millions of colors and make your dorm feel more like you. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, streaming players, and smart lights. Head to Roku.com or your favorite retailer to deck out your dorm.
When it comes to business, the people who succeed tend to be the people who seek out partners with skills or knowledge that they don't have. And that's what Lenovo's free online membership program, Lenovo Pro, can do for small businesses. If you're not a tech expert, that's where Lenovo can help, so you can add Lenovo's team to yours and then lean on them for all your tech questions for free. Visit Lenovo.com/LenovoPro to sign up for free. That's Lenovo.com/LenovoPro.
Lenovo, Lenovo.
Mo-do.us.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games with free spins, exciting promotions, and always generous jackpots. You can waste your time with the others, or you can win at Modo. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.
And we've returned. Guys, how much do we all love driving? We're big driving enthusiasts, right?
Don't love it on the regular in traffic and just for like functional purposes, but out on an open road type situation, I had rented kind of a souped up cooler car than I normally possess. That was awesome. I live for that. But like, yeah, in Atlanta, driving kind of sucks because of, you know, the traffic and a lot of it isn't driving at all. It's just sitting there.
I love it for a number of personal reasons related to, of course, one of the first shows I did with this network, car stuff, but also depending on the kind of situations you're in, it can be a much more dependable way to transport yourself or things as opposed to cargo ship or as opposed to flight, you know, because getting caught without wheels when you're at the mercy of a rental place or an airport and inclement weather, it's never an ideal situation. So for many, many reasons, I think there's a poetry to the open road and the idea of vehicles here in the U.S. Obviously, it's not great that the majority of people living here are forced to depend upon those vehicles, but they're just cool. They're just so cool, man.
Yeah, cars are the best. Driving is one of my favorite things to do on the planet. And, you know, as you're saying, especially if you're at the mercy of, you know, public transportation, no matter how good it is, right? No matter what state you live in, what country you live in, using public transit, you're using somebody else's schedule, right? You are hoping everything is going to work functionally. With a car, if it's yours and you're driving it, you get to get wherever you're going basically as fast as you want to get there or can get there. And you get to choose your own destiny, right? You can decide to go somewhere else if you want to. There's a great freedom of a personal vehicle, like a car or a truck or an SUV, even a motorcycle, any of that stuff. Well, some of that personal freedom that car vehicles represent is getting taken away, guys, in the EU, in the European Union, as well as in Northern Ireland, at least to some extent. And we're about to talk about it. As of July 7th, that is the Sunday before we are recording this on July 10th, all new vehicles, all new cars sold in the European Union and Northern Ireland must have, quote, a range of technical safety features fitted as standard, including an intelligent speed assistance, which is also known as a speed limiter. Now, what does that mean? A lot of newer vehicles, including the Camry I'm currently driving, which is a 2021 model, they have things on them that will alert you that you are potentially, probably going over the posted speed limit on a road. How does it do that? Well, in the vehicle I'm driving, there is a little speed limit sign that shows up on your heads-up display or it's not really a heads-up display, it's on your dashboard, but it shows you what the posted speed limit is on that road right next to how fast you're going on your speedometer. And in my vehicle, at least, it just lets you know with a color coding if you're going green, like under the speed limit, yellow, right at that speed limit, or red, you're above the speed limit, buddy. And that's all my vehicle does. It just lets me know that I am doing this.
It doesn't interfere with your operation. It's the onboard version of those speed monitoring kiosks that get set up in like flash 45, yes, if you're going 45 and a 35.
Yes. And in full honesty, guys, I notice when it's happening. I just see the little, like, I'll see the red pop up and I'm like, oh, dang, I'm going a little too fast. Especially if I've got my son in my car, it's really helpful. I'm like, I should probably be a little more responsible than this.
Doesn't beep at you, though, does it?
It does not. But many, many vehicles will beep at you. And other vehicles will even do things like make the accelerator more difficult to push down. It'll give you resistance on your accelerator, which is kind of interesting. Others
snitch to the insurance company.
Oh, well, yeah.
Not,
if you've got
what?
Look, if you've got your, you know, apps up to date and you've signed up for all the services and you've said yes to all the things and whatever vehicle make and model you're driving, it could potentially be, like Ben said, snitching to your insurance company. Well, there's other things that you they can get around it. But officially, if you haven't said yes to the stuff, at least as of right now, it can't be used against you.
It reminds me of the kind of like governors that like commercial trucks have in them, right? It's sort of almost approaching that if it is actually hampering, you know, your speed because
your school buses.
That's right. That's right.
Well, here's the deal, guys. These new vehicles, according to these new rules in the European Union and Northern Ireland, and that's just vehicles that are sold in those two places, the new speed limiters will actually prevent vehicles from going above the speed limit in posted zones. Now, there's not, I haven't seen the regulation anywhere in The Guardian or any of the other places I've looked at this that say which roads will be governed by these things. Like, is it just on highways? Is it just on residential streets or in school zones? Where will those speeds actually be regulated? If it's just on a per car basis and it's in the entirety of the European Union and Ireland or wherever that vehicle drives, that's pretty intense.
A lot of questions. It's more dangerous to have a minority of cars forced to be limited in that way, especially in places where people will tend to drive 5 to 10 over the limit, km or miles. It doesn't matter.
Well, then you're sitting duck and you can't outmaneuver others too. Let's say you're being chased or something, or you're in like a situation where you need to. I'm just saying, just putting that out there, right. But also like who decides where and how do you know? And is that not the slipperiest of slopes?
Right.
Their stated aim would be to probably number one priority to lower road deaths and fatalities and accidents. So logically, if they're not rolling it out everywhere all at once, they would probably be looking for areas where people are more likely to die in car accidents. Right?
Yeah. Apparently, at least according to The Guardian, road deaths involving a speeding vehicle in Britain has risen faster since COVID, which is up 20% in 2022. So I believe what they're stating here, and I'm not positive because it's a little bit strange to read, but it says 303 out of 1,695. To me, that sounds like 303 deaths out of 1,695 speeding vehicle accidents or something.
Okay.
But staying on logic, guys, tell me if I'm completely wrong here. What I've noticed in driving on highways in Atlanta and even just on, you know, smaller residential roads around here, I use the logic of I drive roughly the same speed as the other vehicles that I'm driving around.
Same
flow of traffic.
Because and you just maintain distance from vehicles in front of you and around you, right? But if you don't do that, at least in this city, it feels extremely dangerous. Because of, I would just say, the tempers and the attitudes of other drivers around you, which you cannot control, how the aggressiveness increases as you slow down. and
anyone could have a gun.
Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's one thing.
Sitting duck, again, like I was saying, you know. Yeah.
But it's just the actions that another driver could take to aggressively get around me if I am not going roughly the same speed as other drivers. Because that's, in my experience, that's when I've seen accidents on the highway, is when someone's 100%. Upset and trying to get around somebody else, so they make a quick maneuver, which then they either run into somebody else or it causes a chain reaction.
And you want to blend in when you're in traffic, especially on a highway. So you kind of want to move with the herd. If you are picking up speed, you should know that speeding saves at best 3 minutes of travel time. I think last time I checked the stats. So make your own judgment call. Make sure that 3 minutes is important enough to you, and be well aware that if you are chasing that extra 3 minutes and you get pulled over, you're going to lose much more than 3 minutes. You're going to be way later to whatever it was. And you might not make it depending on how fast you're going. Right. I think there's a lot of human psychology that proves to us people are not necessarily built to operate cars in groups. Because there's still that line mentality. Like, I want to be first in line to the stoplight or whatever.
Yeah.
This is, this is an inevitable way of handling it, but the rollout itself, and I think this is a point maybe you're getting to there, Matt, is it has its own potential for danger.
Well, it does. And you made a great point there, Ben, that this is going to be a massive minority of vehicles on the road for a long, long time. Not many people go out there and buy a brand new model, whatever, right? And then go take it on the road. Most people, at least the ones that I know and the statistics I'm seeing, you buy a vehicle that's at least a couple of years out of date from the brand new model. And that's a strategic thing. That is a, you know, that comes to how much money you're going to spend. It has a lot to do with a lot of things. Well, mostly because the brand new model is crazy expensive for what you're getting, especially since it loses a lot of its value as soon as you drive it off the lot, right? That's something we've talked about over and over and over again. So there's just going to be a tiny number of cars that have to go the speed limit and stay as far over as they possibly can so other cars can go zip around them dangerously.
I would also be pissed in the UK with this kind of control, even though there is a lot of validity to it. I would understand the perspective of someone who says it's already crazy expensive to own and operate a car in London, you know, in particular, like the road taxes you have to pay just to drive your car are nuts. So I could see how a lot of people would get het up about this, as we used to say on car stuff.
Yeah, but the UK is out of this. It's not in the picture for this.
Yeah, Northern Ireland, I mean. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly, right? So that's going to create a whole other thing, right? Because if you take highways far north enough, you're going to be dealing with this stuff. But, and again, it's only in new cars. So if you want a solution to this and you're going to buy a car in the next ever, just buy a vehicle that was manufactured before 2025.
Yeah, honestly, you know, they're not perfect, but they will. I am increasingly bullish on this. I don't think you should buy new cars if you can avoid it. And increasingly, the older cars become more attractive because they can. There's still something that you own versus the newer models, which are very, very much pushing for subscription models. And if you're subscribed to something, that means you never really own it. You know what I mean? So self-sufficiency is always a pretty good thing when you can possess it.
Agreed. My favorite writing about this thus far has come out of The Autopian by a gentleman named Matt Hardegree. Really love your writing, Matt, if you ever hear this. He just makes this really great point. He says, speed limits, you know, they're part of the social contract that we've talked about many times when we talk about the lines on the road, right? But he says, you could drive 1 mile over the speed limit and expect to get away with it. But you rob one bank and all of a sudden there's a manhunt. I'm sorry. I love that. It feels like us talking on the show, specifically Ben. It sounds like you to me because it's just like this. It's a perfect joke to me.
it is honestly, there are emergency situations where you have to break a law. You know, I'm not saying necessarily a bank robbery, but, you know, you've got, what's the old 80s film trope? You have a pregnant person giving birth in the car. You would want to get to the hospital. You want to arrive at the hospital before the baby arrives on Earth, right?
Yeah.
That's a heck of a ticking time bomb scenario. Or a grievous injury, you know, a natural disaster is another thing. Mm-hmm. Like every year, there are a ton of people in the U.S. who have to temporarily evacuate due to things like hurricanes. And that already, I don't know, I'm on the fence. I can see both sides of this, but the main thing I see is that this is certain to occur, right? It will roll out. And the more it's normalized, there'll be a feedback loop, so more manufacturers will adopt it proactively, even if they don't legally have to. They'll adopt it just because it gives them a better chance to sell cars in the EU, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Matt makes this point that I really think will resonate with us, guys. He says, increasingly, car makers are trying to take the role of driving away from the driver. This view sees the driver as an unfortunate necessity, a stand-in for a computer that will eventually do the job. And that view within car manufacturing is winning. So this concept of like excitement, the freedom that you feel getting in a car, it will go away. As you're saying, Ben, it, all of that stuff, it's just going to go away eventually. We'll just have to cling on to, you know, the 1980 something Dodge Charger, man.
Well, no, we have talked about that though. And there is, I think one could argue, a greater good argument there where, like, you know, statistically speaking, if this were the case and the technology was good, it would reduce deaths. And there might be a future where that feeling you guys are talking about would be relegated to an experience you pay for, you know, on a track or something that's like outside of the realm of like other people, you know, being potentially in harm's way. And I know that likely sucks to a lot of auto enthusiasts, but I'm wondering if you guys have thought about the flip side of that, if there is a greater good argument here, if, you know, sufficiently advanced enough technology were to come about.
In depth, yeah, especially in car stuff, at least on my end. Maybe, I can't remember what show I made this analogy on, but one comparison could be the idea of horses, right? Pre-automobile and internal combustion engine, a lot of people would engage in transportation with horses, right? Because it's smart, it's been around for a while. But now, as the automobile became more normalized and more affordable, now horses have been kind of relegated to this nostalgic thing for the rich. And that might be what happens with cars that you drive yourself. It might be, you know, I can't remember the sci-fi story, but there's this great mystery sci-fi story about a world wherein fossil fuel emissions are much more closely monitored. And there's a guy who is just sneaking out and driving his old school, like some, it yeah, should yeah, be yeah. in a museum type of car. But yeah, it's possible. So maybe that'll be it. Maybe the Camrys and the Ford Focuses and the Ford Escapes and what have yous. Maybe if you have a car like that, you should hold on to it as long as you can.
Hey, man, my camera gets 40 mpg, okay? Come on.
Oh, yeah, I think your camera's at the cusp. It's a good one, yeah.
Tiny thing for me, it also reminds me of folks that like refuse to upgrade their operating systems on their computer because they like the version of the software they use and they do not want to be forced to upgrade. So they like kind of remove that computer from the internet. And this is true for a lot of like audio, you know, or video editing, perhaps. Somebody really liked the early version of Final Cut Pro and doesn't want to participate in anything else because that just worked for them, you know? And so you just kind of remove yourself from that technological rat race.
Well, unless you cannot remove yourself at all, because if you own a vehicle, even in California, Senator Wiener, yes, that's right, Scott Wiener, he proposed a bill back in January to do this very thing in California. So it might be coming our way. That bill, by the way, it's not going through. And that cat is very excited to exit this room. So why don't we exit this segment? Thank you, Doc. Well, here we go.
And this brings us to one of our favorite parts of the show. This is where we pass the torch to you, fellow conspiracy realist. Have you, some of your faithful correspondents, traveled abroad and ran into the robot revolution? What do you think about cars? I got my car stuff hat on for this. Really interested to hear the future of automation, the greater good arguments. And then, of course, change your passwords. We can't wait to hear from someone who is actually attending the Taco Bell retirement home. Reach out to us online. Tell us about all this. And most importantly, tell us what it's like to live Moss. It's a Taco Bell tagline. Yeah, exactly. I'm doing Taco Bell references.
Live more. I got it. It's good. It's true, though, Ben. You make great points here, and you can, in fact, reach out to us in various ways, including on the internet, where you can find us at the handle Conspiracy Stuff, where we exist on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group. Here's where it gets crazy. Get in on the conversation there. Send us your memes and your hot takes on topics of discussion here on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know. We are also Conspiracy Stuff on X, FKA Twitter, and on YouTube, where we have video content coming at you on the regular. On Instagram and TikTok, we're Conspiracy Stuff Show.
Do you want to call us? Call 1-833-STDWYTK. That's our voicemail system. You'll have 3 minutes, give yourself a cool nickname, and let us know what you think about this episode or any other episode or any topic at all. Give us a suggestion for a show we should do. Anything. We want to hear from you. If you've got more to say than can fit in 3 minutes, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every email we receive. Be well aware, sometimes the void writes back, and it can't wait to hear from you. Conspiracy@iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Roku has what you need to make your college home away from home feel more like your own. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, or bring a Roku streaming stick to easily access all your favorite free and premium content like iHeartRadio. Stream your favorite playlist with the Roku Vibe Setting Smart Light Strips to sync your music to millions of colors and make your dorm feel more like you. Make your dorm the place to be with Roku TV, streaming players, and smart lights. Head to Roku.com or your favorite retailer to deck out your dorm.
MoDo.us.
Visit MoDo.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MoDo.us for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MoDo.us.
Are you spending a fortune while shopping on Amazon? What if I said you can earn cash back while you shop? Introducing Drop, the ultimate rewards app. Whether it's fashion, electronics, or groceries, you can earn free gift cards just by shopping online or in-store at tons of your favorite brands. Download the Drop app now and start earning while you shop. Plus, for a limited time, use code DROP11 to get $5 in points instantly.